This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast, brought to you by the all-new Natural Light Natterdays. With a refreshing strawberry lemonade twist, it's Natterdays.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team that's on the way back, a College World Series title. Come on, Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
There was some controversy over our power rankings of sandwiches. You know, not the football team and not what we think they're going to do. None of that stuff. We're talking about the real issues here. And that was the thing that caused some controversies, but we're going to continue to that and talking sports, talking media, talking food, all the things that we all enjoy, so we'll have some fun with that. Clay Henry, the publisher of Hogs Illustrated, is actually going to join us around 7:32 this morning, so looking forward to catching up with him. I think that might be the first time. No, it will be the first time that I think I've ever will have talked with Clay Henry in an interview format on a radio show.
I'm sure it will be a thrill for him.
I bet you. Because, you know, normally when I talk to Clay, it's always because he's making fun of the color of my shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know.
An easy mark.
Yeah, I mean, it's a target there that's easy to get. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how he handles that and how I handle it, too. But it'll be great to have Clay on, a guy.
Don't tell him it's a fishing shirt, or then you'll really get it.
Oh, I know. Well, that's another thing, too, is he's seen me wear fishing shirts, and he knows that I don't fish. So it's almost like it insulted him that I would even
think about
wearing a fishing shirt if I'm not a fisherman. Like, what type of person am I? So it's like, are you making a mockery of it?
You're a fraud.
Exactly. So, but yeah, it'll be fun to talk with Clay about some stuff.
Tell him you went fly fishing in that shirt. He'll just come unglued.
Yeah, well, because the first question he would ask to, like, kind of test me if I've actually gone fishing, I would not know. Like, he could say, well, okay, so what reel did you use? Or lure, or... You know,
do you wear hip or chest waders?
Yeah, both. It's a tough decision, Clay.
Yeah, same time. Yeah, I wore both.
Yeah, just can never be too careful. Can't be too cautious out there in those waters. So, the first time I'll go fishing, I'll just tell him, hey, I used this little thing that was colored this way and it looked like this, and then he can tell me all about it. So but we'll have some fun with that, of course, and have some fun with Clay and get into some other topics going on today as well. But I did want to start the show with this and dealing with Razorback football season, because now we are just 67 days away, as the little liner just played right before the intro of our show. 67 days. It's amazing how fast it's moving, but SEC Media Days will be here before we know it. Then fall camp starts up in the early August, and then we go right into the football season, August 31st being the first game for Arkansas against Portland State. And I was asked this question yesterday via social media, and that's obviously, we get callers coming in, but the social media is just a little easier to interact when you're not on the radio show with people and just what's on their minds. And there was a poor fan, and I felt bad for him because he says he's been disappointed a lot, and this is the first year he's going to be able to buy season tickets for the Razorback football team, which I didn't want to ask, but I kind of wondered, is it because that you got such good seats for a cheaper price because they're struggling to sell those tickets and sell those seats? I don't know. But anyways, he said this was the first year he's doing it. So I was like, well, power to you for one, because there's only going to be two SEC home games this year. Mm-hmm. So it's not like you're getting just the creme de la creme of scheduling in Fayetteville.
Oh, but you get those seats and you hang on to them the next few years,
yes.
Particularly next year, it starts getting a lot better.
Yes, exactly. So there's your silver lining in the whole thing. But he was just asking the question simply of, give us some positivity. What's going to be the best thing we're going to see this year? Who's going to be the best player? What's going to be the best game? Just what is going to be the thing that happens this season, this year, that Razorback fans are going to be the happiest about, the most excited about? The one where they actually feel good at the end of it, at the end of the result. What is it going to be? And I thought that was an interesting question, because it's pretty general enough where you could take it a lot of different directions. You could say that a particular player is going to look really good, or a particular position group is going to be much more improved. You could say that, hey, Arkansas is going to win two SEC games, and those two SEC games might be the best moment, or them going to a bowl game itself. That may be the best thing that happens this year. Maybe the offense is so markedly improved that it scores a lot of points against teams that are known for their defense. Maybe you have a close game against an LSU or against an Alabama, a team you're not supposed to be close against. Maybe you end up performing pretty well. Whatever it is, I think that it's a pretty wide open question. And I started thinking about it yesterday when it was asked. And the first thing that popped into my mind, And it might be the easiest answer because it's the one that's going to get the most focus. But to me, I think the best thing in our early predictions here of the football season for the Razorbacks is going to be the quarterback position. And the reason I think that is not because I feel like Ben Hicks and Nick Starkle are going to come in and be the next Ryan Mallett and Tyler Wilson. I don't believe that. And I don't think anybody should believe that or have that expectation on, and laying it on themselves. It shouldn't be that way. Well, what I do believe is that you will see such a massive improvement in the on the offense in general just by having an upgrade at the quarterback position, not necessarily just in talent, but in understanding and communication and leadership and knowing what to do, where to do it, where people need to be lined up. Just being that leader on that side of the ball, I think, is going to make a massive difference for this Razorback offense. And I don't know if it's actually going to put up more points, more yards, more all that, but you're at least not going to sit there and watch every game where you're going to remember guys running into each other or just massive miscommunications where you got guys lining up wrong. They can't get the play in. They got to call timeouts. All these issues. I don't think you're going to see that this year. And I think that alone is going to be worth people being interested and excited about it because it's like, man, if they can just get some more offensive linemen in here, or if they can just get a few of these wide receivers to get another year or two of development, if they can just continue to grow with these quarterbacks, this could be a really good offense down the road. But it starts with how the quarterback, whoever it ends up being, whether it's Ben Hicks or Starkle, I think we all agree that Ben Hicks will be the starter of the year. We don't know if he'll continue to be the starter the rest of the season, but whoever it is, that they come in, they make a difference, and they actually know what they're doing out on the field, which is going to make the team look like they know what they're doing, which is going to make it for a much more entertaining football to watch.
Yeah. I don't think the year, but it's an important year for transition because I think you've laid it out there nicely, but you know, half the roster is going to be different.
Mm-hmm.
I think you need another year of recruiting. I think the third year should be the year where we really see Chad Morris put his full brand and stamp, whatever that is. And that's when we're going to, I think, ultimately make our judgment, our determination. Is this headed in the right direction? Is the table really set? I think you got another year of table setting going on. And then I think, you know, you're ready to put the meal out there. Ham or roast, or wherever it's going to be. Hopefully filet mignon. But, I mean, here's the thing. These, in some ways, the schedule benefits you. In some ways, it doesn't. Because these years where you're not set up to win eight-plus ball games, the schedule lends itself for you to win eight-plus ball games. Because this is the year Michigan opted to go play Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
It's left you with one less Power 5 game on your schedule. Should give you the opportunity to win at least one more game. You didn't take advantage of it last year. You got one more chance this year with this schedule. But the program doesn't have the structure in place to really fully take advantage of all that. About the time he gets his third year in place, gets his structure, his system, his recruits, all of that set up, now here comes Notre Dame on the schedule. Here comes Texas on the schedule. Here comes, you know, here comes the teams back on the schedule. And, of course, the SEC is just relentless and never lets up. So that's the thing. You better have your act together because by next year, you know, the full pop of the schedule is back on top of you. And the difficulty, the full difficulty of winning eight or more ball games will be a reality.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we're even seeing the full scale of difficulty right now with the schedule.
And that's why I've always said it's a blessing in disguise, you not playing Michigan.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, if you're going into this year and you knew that were having Michigan at home, it wouldn't matter because you'd feel like it's a loss no matter what.
Right. It is, but it isn't. Fans should be treated to something better than the schedule fans are getting. But for the team and a chance to win one more game and go to a bowl game, possibly at the end of this year, it sets up nicely for Chad Morris in his second year. But by year three, you better have your act together because there are no more free passes, if you will.
No, those are all used up and those are all gone.
And that's not on Chad Morris. It's just the way it's not on Juracek. Right. Don't say it's on Jeff Long. I mean, if you're Michigan and you got a chance to go play Notre Dame, you do that. That's not a hard decision. it left Arkansas holding the bag, and that's the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing Arkansas's got to do is take advantage of those four games this year and then go win a couple non-conference games. We've talked about that day after day. I'm just saying you better use this year to really set the table for next year, because next year it's not going to be easy at all.
No. No. I mean, Notre Dame on the road alone.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
just, I mean, that's going to be one that probably most fans are going to chalk up to a loss, but crazier things have happened.
Now you get Alabama at home next year.
And LSU, which is nice, and then Ole Miss. So, I mean, you do get... I think
you're going to play Notre Dame and Alabama in the same year.
Hmm. I like our chances.
Yeah.
You like how it's going to go
next year, you're going to play Texas.
That's right.
So,
and then after that, you got the Oklahoma States, you got the BYUs, you got
and then
the return trip to Notre Dame, or Notre Dame to Fayetteville in 2025.
Right.
I mean, you got a nice little setup for the schedule. You're going to be able to see a lot
Oklahoma
of good
Oklahoma State down there in, what, 2026 or somewhere?
So. Yeah. Yeah, that's going to be
set up. You got a few, I'm just saying this is the last season to really kind of pad your schedule a little bit.
Yeah.
Pad your results.
Yeah.
And Arkansas wasn't able to just take full advantage of it last year, and I don't think this year either. Now, they may win all those games. They may win all four of those non-conference games. Well, that's taking full advantage of it, but – I'm just saying the program's not set up to use those four along with four more conference. Now, you're not going to be able to win at least four in SEC play to really make this an 8-plus win season.
No. No. In fact, if you go...
I mean, we're not even talking about winning 9.
No.
I'm just talking about how do you get back to 8.
Yeah.
We'll talk about 9 when that becomes a reality.
Well, even if you go 6-6 this year, just at the end of the day, you'll be like, hey, you're going to a bowl game. And looking right back on it, you're like, well... You're glad you played Colorado State because you would have gone 5-7 if you hadn't by losing to Michigan. And then where would you be after that? So, I mean, there's a lot of different ways that you can take it from as far as what do you think the best thing is going to happen for this year's football team.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast, brought to you by the all-new Natural Light Natterdays, a light lager brewed with a phenomenal strawberry lemonade flavor that's perfect for bringing the fun to every occasion. The new Natural Light Natterdays.
Touchdown, home!
I want to answer that question that Michael in Stuttgart called with in the previous segment, asking about Chad Morris. Does he get fired from Arkansas or does he get hired at another school? Which, when you limit to those choices, man, I mean, I'm still trying to think about how the best way to answer this question. But if I had, honestly, Michael, if I had to lean one way or the other, I would say getting fired from Arkansas would be more likely than him leaving for another job. Because let's be honest, Tommy.
And I think, didn't he say leaving for a big job?
Big job, a bigger job. Like, what jobs?
When has that happened?
Well, that's,
Ken Hatfield left for Clemson, and it wasn't a big job then. Clemson wasn't.
And it was more of a mutual thing. I know fans were just getting upset with the boring style of football.
Yeah, you got fans were tired of all those 10-win years and those Southwest Conference titles.
It was boring to watch.
Yeah, just winning conference title after conference, the Cotton Bowl after Cotton Bowl.
Sounds like you were a Ken Hatfield fan.
I think it was, in the end, people got tired of running the football. And some of what people complained about with Houston Nutt, the lack of imagination with the offense. But it was effective. Arkansas was playing, they lost those Cotton Bowls to Tennessee. They lost, I remember vividly, them losing to Troy Aikman and UCLA in that Cotton Bowl. And they played Tennessee, the year before. But and Hatfield's departure was kind of a surprise because it happened later than the cycle we think about now, because it was in, February?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, you just think about the coaches that have left on their own. Nutt left and went to
Ole Miss.
Now, did Nutt leave or get fired? I don't know. He forquitted, whatever.
Yeah.
He went to Ole Miss. Is that a big-time job?
No.
I guess so. I mean, he's SEC.
Yeah, but at the time, though, he was a dumpster fire of a program. Because that was when Ed Orgeron was there going over.
Just think about coaches that have quit here to take a job elsewhere.
In football, it's almost... It's almost never happened. I know in basketball, people will talk about Eddie Sutton going to Kentucky and going for that job.
Left to take a job at Harley Davidson. Sean L. took a job at Fort Collins State.
Brett Bielema became an intern.
Right.
Yeah. It just doesn't happen. And that was going to be my next point is, I know that people like to say that Arkansas is not an elite job, and I'm not going to say it's an elite job, but There's a reason why when people have success at Arkansas, they don't leave. I mean, there's got to be something to it, right? They don't leave. They stick around. As long as Arkansas is continuing to give them the money that they deserve.
It's not the stepping stone job that some people want to describe
right.
it as.
Right. Because I think that there are, when people get here to Arkansas, and I'm not saying this is how everybody is, but when people get to Arkansas and they have the success, and I think that they understand that they have all the support and all the backing that they need to continue on with that success. Just look at Dave Van Horn. No one has handcuffed Dave Van Horn saying, you know what, you don't need that new facility. You know, you don't need these new raises. You don't need all this extra stuff because he's been given this. He's given everything he needs to be successful. It was going the same way with Petrino before that whole debacle happened. They were building the new practice facility, the Fred W. Smith Center, because of his success. He had just signed a contract at a buyout for $16 million if he had left. He was all in on Arkansas. He was staying here for the long haul.
The north end zone would have been done several years yes. before it was completed.
Yes, if that success continued.
Right.
So, and even like Nolan Richardson makes the joke. He's like, I'm probably the only coach to ever get fired but never leave the state of Arkansas. I mean, it's... there's not enough examples for me to look at and say, well, yeah, because this coach left, so obviously it would make sense that Chad Morris, if he had big success, he'd leave too. Because some people said, well, if he gets a Texas A&M offer or Texas offer, something like that,
maybe. I do think A&M is a special place in his heart. It's his alma mater. We know that his daughter went to school there. His son's obviously coming to Arkansas. You know, would that be a place? I mean, home is still home. Home is always home. But here's the thing. If you'd have to have a lot of success for that for A&M to hire the Arkansas coach. Just telling you, that's just not what the, you know, these other schools and these other institutions don't look at Arkansas in that way. That
no.
it's a statement of pride to hire the Arkansas coach. They don't look at it that way.
No.
So he would have to have overwhelming success.
Yeah.
It'd actually be a good thing for Arkansas if he was a candidate for a job, a true legitimate candidate. It would mean he had real legitimate success.
I mean, Tommy, you could even make the argument, too, that some coaches, not all, but some coaches that have come to Arkansas left, quote-unquote, better jobs
right.
to come to Arkansas. For instance, looking at when Brett Bielema left Wisconsin. Wisconsin, at the time, was considered to be a better job because of the recent success that they had.
They just won the Big Ten title. They beat Nebraska
in a row.
Like 190-2.
Yeah.
But literally it was like 70.
It was a bad
one. It was 70 something to 7 or something like that.
I don't remember exactly the score, but
they just whooped him.
It was a whooping.
And then, that was the last time he was coached in a game for Wisconsin.
Yeah. And then even if with Bobby Petrino, which I know how that ended over with the Falcons, but the guy was the head coach of an NFL team.
Well, but before that, he'd been at Louisville went to a BCS game.
Exactly, and then he came to Arkansas. So there are times where coaches have left better programs, quote-unquote, to come to Arkansas.
Oh, I think those are two good examples right there, recent examples.
Yeah, so you know, I guess that's the kind of the way I look at it, too, is that...
I mean, John L. left Fort Collins State or whatever.
Oh, no, he was at Ball State. That's where he was.
Wherever he was.
He was at Ball State for like a week, and he's like, hey, we need you back, and then he came back. Apparently, they could pay more at Arkansas than they could at Ball State, if you could believe
it. That whole bankruptcy thing.
Financial stuff happens with head coaches that make money. So, but the whole point of it, and this goes back to Michael's call about Chad Morris on whether or not he's going to, it would be more likely that he gets fired from Arkansas or moves on to a better job.
Typical Michael question.
Yeah,
great,
I know.
Great question.
It is a great question because it's tough. It's a tough question, but
it's a cerebral question.
But let me ask you this, Tommy. If Chad Morris has success, and when I mean success, I'm not saying, you know, going 6-6, 7 wins on the average a season. I'm talking about elevating Arkansas to where they're to that point, maybe not exactly to the Petrino era, but flirting with it, where they're beating teams like LSU on occasion and going up and giving Alabama their best game, because I don't know if they're ever going to beat Alabama, but giving them their best game, beating the Mississippi schools consistently, you know, just finding that place in the SEC West. Do you see Chad Morris, if that comes around with it and he's being looked at from other teams, do you see him leaving? I mean, besides, it would be A&M be the only one that you would say
no, you could see him leaving for? I don't think A&M's the only place he'd leave for. I mean, Arkansas's not the destination job we like to think it is. Question is, will he have enough success here for other schools to have that interest? I don't have a problem with the guy leaving, because that probably he's going to leave the program in much better shape than he found it if he's not fired.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that's the situation we're talking about 5 years from now. Arkansas needs stability, though. They need a head coach to stay 5+ years to provide stability for a program that's had anything but stability since Petrino left, because it's been a change in leadership far too often. And you were hoping Bielema was that person, but it just didn't. The results didn't work out, and it didn't pan out. And we were talking yesterday on the show about the difference in a game or two, particularly that Belk Bowl. We were talking about that play with Morgan down at the pylon, and maybe if that had gotten ruled a score, not a fumble, the difference in what happens in that game and the difference in careers. You know, just that's how close these things can be sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the problem that Arkansas has had, is a lack of stability within the leadership of the football program, just because there's been too much changing going on. Some of it at no fault of anybody's, but just the hand you've been dealt. Petrino forced you to make change. John L. was everybody likes to say he was a bad hire as a head coach. He was an interim. That's another thing that grinds my gears a little bit. When people, you know, talk about him as he wasn't a legitimate head coach.
There was no way he was coming back.
He was an interim. I know he didn't have, I know Jeff Long, he doesn't have the interim tag, but he was an interim.
There's a reason why he only had signed a year contract for $800,000.
Right. Exactly.
He still was overpaid.
He made $800,000 for 1 year and was lucky to do that.
He's still overpaid, if you ask me.
Jeff Long was handcuffed on that deal. Call him a... I mean, they shouldn't even list him in the media guide as a head coach, but they do.
I didn't have an issue with that.
Bielema wasn't the worst head coach ever. He just didn't win, you know.
But I still think he had a more negative impact on the Razorback football program than John L. Smith did, though.
Well, yeah, he had 5 years to do it.
Yeah.
John L. had 1 year.
Yeah. And I mean, he torpedoed it worse than I think anybody has in Razorback football history. But... I don't know. There's not enough examples, though, of coaches leaving. And that's where it's hurt. It's like tough for me to say that for sure Chad Morris would leave. I'm not saying he wouldn't, but it's just hard for me to say he would for sure leave when any other coach that's had uber success at Arkansas hasn't left.
Well, who's had uber success?
Well, I mean, if you go back with Frank Broyles, and I know that was
different
a situation
deal,
where he became an athletic director as part of it, too. But you think about him. I still think Bobby Petrino would have been the coach forever if it hadn't been for him getting fired as long as he wanted to be, as long as he kept having success, absolutely. You think he would have been fired?
His track record didn't indicate that he was going to be anywhere for a long time.
And what is it? He was, with the exception of this past year, he wasn't anywhere
never completed
more than
a 40. Fifth year. Yeah.
Well, I know, but what I'm saying, though, if it hadn't been for that, though, if it was just his on-the-field success, I think he would have stayed at Arkansas as long as he wanted to.
It's hard to look at his track record to say he would be able to do that. Because his success was minimal in those 4 years.
I understand. My point is,
that's what you wanted to happen. I don't think that's what would have happened.
But why?
Because
of his track
record. There's nothing to indicate that.
But listen, I'm saying, I understand his track record, but I'm saying if it's on-the-field stuff, though, if he didn't have that off-the-field issue.
Discussing something doesn't matter at this point, but... I mean, I understand what you're saying, but even if the off-the-field issue hadn't occurred, I don't think he was going Dane Alban. With your permission, I'm going to retire here. I don't think he was going to be here 10 seasons.
No, but he wasn't going to leave for another job. The guy signed a $16 million buyout contract.
True.
I mean, he's going to be in for a long haul.
He was financially locked in, just along in lockstep with the university.
Right.
You have a good point.
Right. That's all I'm saying. So it's a good question, though, Michael, and I think it's a fascinating one, and one that sure will be brought up at some other point in time. But either way, it's hard to know which coach will do what at this point in time. Yeah. But Chad Morris has to win first before you even get to that point.
Right.
Let's be honest about it. So, but we'll continue.
Was that cart a mile in front of the horse? I think it was.
Yeah, just a little bit.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast, brought to you by the all-new Natural Light Natterdays, the new beer of the summer with a refreshing strawberry lemonade twist. Natterdays, fun for every occasion.
They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house.
But we are going to continue here on the Morning Rush with our summer segment series that we've been having some fun with. Again, if you didn't get the chance to listen to it yesterday, we have three different summer topics because that's what Summertime Sports Talk Radio is all about. One dealing with sports, one dealing with food, and the other dealing with media. So without further ado, let's go ahead and hop right into it.
All right, here we go, finally.
All right.
It's our favorite time of the year.
Nonsense. I've not yet begun to defile myself.
The Morning Rush summer segment of the day.
All right, so going to do the little randomizer, the little pressure luck sounder that Tommy loves so much from that great game. Pressure luck, right? Was what it's called?
Yeah, pressure
All
luck.
Right, pressure
no
luck.
Whammies, no whammies.
All right.
Stop.
So we will go ahead and we'll kick it off with sports. All right, so keeping the sports theme going on here. All right, so here's your sports summertime topic. You get to add two teams and take two teams away from the SEC.
Ooh.
Which teams you adding? Which teams you taking away?
I'm adding two and taking two away.
That's right.
Well, I mean, a lot of different ways to look at that. Do I want to add rivalries? Because you could easily add. Am I looking at it from a business standpoint? What's going to help make the league money?
You're looking at it from the Tommy Kraft standpoint of how can I enjoy this more? Selfish reasons. Tommy Kraft.
Oh.
What teams would you like to see out, and what teams you like to see
okay.
in?
Okay, I'm taking Missouri out.
Of course.
I think that's a terrible series, terrible game. So take Missouri out. As much as I hate LSU, we're going to leave them in because you just love to play them and beat them as much as you can. Maybe South Carolina out because it's such a far. It is the longest trip in the SEC.
It is.
And bring me in Oklahoma and Texas.
Okay, so bring in the Red
fans
River.
Fans love to play Texas. It's tradition. It's rivalry. Then you'd have Texas, Texas A&M, and Oklahoma.
All right.
Hate OU. Hate LSU. Hate Texas. You'd have a lot of teams you hate.
That's fair. I'll take that. I'll understand that.
And some drivable games.
Yes. Well, that's the key, too. If you're an Arkansas fan, you're not close to anybody.
I know I just took Missouri out, which is drivable as well, but...
Still,
come
what,
on.
6 hours? 5-6 hours?
To kind of where you're at, yeah. Yeah.
About that? I don't know.
Not where you're at.
Too drivable, but yes, yeah, still
it's
drivable.
It's under 8 for most of the state.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So those are good ones. I want to remove Missouri, too. I don't think anybody's going to have any issues with removing Missouri from the SEC. But the other team is one that I actually struggled with. And I want to remove Texas A&M.
Okay.
Because... I feel like one of the things that Arkansas, and again, this is for selfish reasons, one of the things that Arkansas had going for them for a long time was being the only team, they're the closest team to Texas and the Texas ties that they had in the SEC. And playing in the SEC and Arkansas being in proximity close to it, it made sense.
Yep.
So I want A&M out for that sole reason.
If you're going from that rationale, from a recruiting rationale, right. that is the one you remove.
That's right. And also, I don't like their fans and they're weird. So... Money-wise, they're the team that makes the most sense. But from the perspective, again, selfishly, I want them out. So the two teams that I add, which means since I removed Missouri and Texas A&M.
The teams you added in 2012.
They're exactly the most recent teams. I kind of want to add in two teams, or one being from the Western Division and one being from the East, just to kind of make it a little more sense. I'm with you, Tommy, in adding Oklahoma.
Okay.
Putting them in the West. I think that for the drivability, I think for just the branding purposes, they're a team that would be really fun to go up against every single year. And you know, there's a lot of... They haven't played that each other that many times, but you still have some history between the two programs. So I think it would be fun to play Oklahoma. And on the East, I'm struggling between the two, but I'm going to lean towards this way. I want the U. Miami.
Okay.
And the only reason is because the one random occasion that Arkansas would end up playing them down in Miami would be an awesome place to go and watch a football game. Not necessarily because of where it's at in the stadium, but where it's at in the city. I think the city of Miami, as we have Miami by Will Smith playing in the background, perfect setup. I feel like that would be a fun game to go to, a destination spot to go to. And it's a decent program. Obviously, has not had the same great history as they once did. But still would be a fun program nonetheless to go and visit. And again, this is all selfishly, so I'm selfish. I want to have a trip to Miami if Arkansas ever ended up playing them down there.
Who was the other one you were contemplating?
Clemson. Just because of their success. And
But having Clemson and South Carolina both in this league doesn't make sense.
It doesn't. And that's another reason why I went with Miami, too, because also you can't get much more southeast than Miami.
Probably doesn't make sense to have Florida and Miami in the same conference.
Yeah. Okay, again, this is all for my selfish reasons.
Right.
And I don't really think
we just bring Hawaii in while you're at it. Yeah.
Hey, that's true. Don't tempt me, Tommy. I may do that. I ended up doing that. All right, Ty, which one do you want?
So I'm taking out Vanderbilt. And I know Nashville is a great destination city. Yeah. It's probably the best city in the SEC. But you still get it for the SEC basketball tournament. You still get it possibly if they put SEC media days down there in the upcoming years.
There goes the GPA.
Yeah, Vanderbilt does.
Fans don't care about media days.
Yeah.
Fans don't care anything about
that's why it's selfish reasons.
Yeah, we're selfish. Yeah. That's what we came out and said. So Vanderbilt just does not feel like an SEC school in terms of athletics. And when you think SEC, you don't think academics. You think athletics, whether it's football, whether it's basketball, and whether it's baseball. They don't really succeed in any of those outside of baseball. And most people point to football being first. And again, this is selfish. So that's what I'm going to go with. Other one being Mizzou. That is clearly not an SEC school. They don't get along with other SEC schools. These students, they're weird. Like, it's just not my cup of tea. And I don't think anyone in the SEC feels like Missouri belongs. And it's funny because they always get really offended when you say they don't belong in the SEC.
Okay, so you take out Vanderbilt and Missouri. Mm-hmm. Who are you adding?
See, I know you were contemplating Clemson. Clemson feels like an SEC school. Good football, beautiful women. I mean, this is selfish reasons. I'd love to go to see a game there in Death Valley. That's one of the best atmospheres in college football. That would be a destination for me. And then, Tommy, I'm with you. Texas. Like, yep. Arkansas is playing Texas in that Shriners Classic this upcoming year. And this will be the first time in quite some time that they played Texas in three straight years in baseball. Man, you want to play them in football. You want to play them in basketball. You want to play them in everything. That's a rivalry fans in Arkansas are itching to get back.
That was the one you'd rather had in your league than A&M. I mean, he's talking about expanding your conference from TV market standpoints. It didn't make sense to have both of those because it doesn't expand your TV markets. Fans would have much rather had fans of every SEC school would have much rather had the Longhorns than A&M. Problem is, the Longhorns are just hard to deal with. They're selfish.
Yeah. They want all the money.
They want all the money.
All the money, all the fame, all the glory to come along with it, but not necessarily the success to go along with it as well. So really, the only team that we agreed on across the board was kicking Missouri out.
Here's what I find interesting. I mean, you mentioned Kentucky but no one mentioned, from a basketball standpoint, wanting Kentucky out of the league.
I guess that's true. Is it maybe because they've just been a part of the SEC for so long, and is it the basketball element?
Would anybody want Kentucky out of this league in basketball? I mean, how bad would this league be without Kentucky, honestly?
And if you're an Arkansas fan, you like playing Kentucky because it's like there's that rivalry, quote unquote, that you have. So,
and
that's a good point.
And I bring up basketball. I say that to bring this point. How would you like to have Kansas in this league from a basketball standpoint? Now, from football and baseball, it'd be terrible.
It'd be a great win. It'd be an easy win.
But it'd be fun to play them in basketball.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, like I said, there's no right or wrong answer. It's just always what you want to look at.
Selfishly, you'd probably want to add Oklahoma and like Oklahoma State. If you're an Arkansas fan, Kansas or Kansas State, all those are drivable games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that goes back to the old, should Arkansas be in the Big 12 conversation that, always seems to show up in the summer conversation series.
Yeah, the only benefit you'd get out of it is that it'd be closer in proximity.
Right.
But that's it. But. That's, I don't know. I think
is that worth $20 million a year to you?
No, I don't think it's. I don't think the powers that be. It's worth it to them either.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast, brought to you by the all new Natural Light Natterdays, the new beer of the summer.
Clay Henry, the publisher of Hogs Illustrated, now joins us on the Morning Rush. Clay, it is an honor for me to be able to introduce you on this show. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing good. Tommy, is are you going to keep John?
Am I going to keep John? He's still on probation. I mean, he started his second year, but he's in his second.
Well, I think he's been doing pretty good.
Yeah. Oh. But don't tell him that, Clay. Well,
thank you, Clay.
Oh. Well, I mean, he was off to a rocky start, and that's why I quit doing the show. But if he's settled in, maybe I should do it again.
Well, we're going to see how the next year or so goes, and then we're going to make a determination.
John, just kidding. I care for you some.
Well, is it true that you're standing in the White River doing this interview? That's why we played the
No, but you did the Bull Shoals.
Yeah.
Bull Shoals Lake River Chamber of Commerce. Man, right. That's right down my alley. I am in the parking lot above the restricted area below Bull Shoals Dam with my wader zone, my fly rod rigged up, and my size 22 midges, and I'm going after big browns with Lewis Campbell in about. How long are we going to do this, 10 minutes?
No, you said you had an hour, you know.
Well, I'm have an hour, but 90 of it's going to be fishing.
All right, well, let's get to it. Recently, you Hogs Illustrated in the last month or so put out your season preview, and you got your
did.
You did, and it's great looking magazine. I don't know who did all the work on it, but you'll take all the credit. It looks wonderful. You got a lot of good information in there, huh?
Hey, just like you, Tommy, got to have a team.
Yeah. So looks good. Hey, you know,
no I in team.
No, there's no I in team. It's going to take some. It is going to take some eyes this year in this team, though, to probably get the job. And I guess we'll start with quarterback because that's the conversation everyone wants to have. Ben Hicks. I really can't see a situation, Clay, where Ben Hicks isn't the starter the first couple of games. But I could also see a situation where Nick Starkel could take this job away from him at some point in this season. Now we know Connor Nolan's not going to play. What do you put your hands there on the crystal ball? What do you think happens throughout the course of August, September, into October with the quarterback position this year?
Well, it's you're right. It's Ben's job to lose, and that offensive line can lose it for him. I think it's the offensive line's deal, and they've been so awful the last 2 years, and just completely out of SEC quality players, except for Yelder Froholt. I'm not going to put him in that group. But it's they were playing with a lot of young guys or a lot of guys that in normal circumstances you wouldn't have out there against the likes of LSU and Texas A&M. And it really made it hard to run the ball, and they could not get any movement up front. And the key to this whole deal getting turned around is if they can finally run the ball. And then the quarterback play becomes so much easier. And I think that if you go back and you look at what SMU did under Chad Morse and Joe Craddock when Ben Hicks was playing quarterback, they ran the ball. And they got a lot of one-on-one matchups on the outside for Terry Quinn. And part of that is Cortland Sutton was, you know, top round draft pick that demanded double coverage on the other side. But it's about running the ball and having good wide receivers, and then the quarterback play is doable. And I think with but back to what you said originally, if Ben Hicks has some success, he's the quarterback all the way through. And if you get past Ole Miss and Texas A&M, and he's had success, well, you know, Nick Starkel is the quarterback next year.
Mm-hmm.
But if he doesn't have success, and if he doesn't, there's no reason why he wouldn't have success unless the offensive line doesn't get any movement and they don't have a running game, and then they can't protect him. But then Nick Starkel might, you know, you might start breaking him in for the next season. He's got the better arm, but he doesn't have the knowledge of the offense like Ben Hicks does. And they beat Ole Miss at Ole Miss. I think this team really picks it up, and you get in a situation where, you know, whether it be Kentucky or Missouri, you know, they're going to be playing for a bowl game. They get to Ole Miss and win that game. They win, you know, they win the four non-conference games. Then the second half of the season, every time they go out there, they're playing for a bowl game. Mm-hmm. That's what they'll be going for number six. And if Ben Hicks is the guy that set him up for that, I think they probably let him try to take him to a bowl game.
Clay, I want to look on the other side of the ball too, because obviously with offense, you feel like quarterback's going to be better, wide receiver's going to be better, running back's going to be better. The offensive line's the question, but it's almost like we're a little remiss when not talking about the defense a lot of times. You know that Scooter Harris is coming back. He's going to be a key piece. Sosa Agim's back. But there's a few other pieces that they got to add, and the defense wasn't exactly amazing last year. So just going through the depth chart there and looking at the roster and looking at what they have coming in, do you feel like this defense can also make marketable improvement from last season and be a defense that can hold the ball and get stops late in games? I think that's probably going to be the most important thing.
Yeah, I think you're right, John. And I do believe they're better. And I think they're better at safety. I think Cam Curl is a quality safety. I think that they've got better depth at safety behind Joe Boucher, who'll be the other guy. And then you've got Jarquez McClellan, Monteric Brown, Ladarius Bishop. You know, the cornerback depth is a little bit better, and I think there's probably a couple other guys that can play there. I think Devin Bush. I believe they're better. They've just got more guys in the secondary. John Chavis field, you know, when I talked to him after spring, it was a totally different vibe than what I got the previous spring. I'm not sure he knew what was going to happen or how it was going to happen or how many guys that he had that could play in the SEC. And now he took it on himself. He didn't blame anybody for how they played last year, but he said that won't happen again, that it wasn't acceptable in how they played. I don't think they were far off defensively, but I think there'll be better depth at defensive end. I'm really excited by some of the young players that we saw in the spring, Mateo Soli, and, you know, it's got the speed. When you look at him, I tell you some guys that he reminds me of. Now, he plays on the outside, but his body frame and speed and quickness remind me of a Billy Ray Smith, you know, at 6'4", the length, the hips, Leslie O'Neal. At the same stage that I saw them as 17, 18-year-olds, that's what Soli looks like, quick twitch and the ability to rush the passer. And I don't care how you slice it up, in the SEC, you have to have some guys that can rush the passer, mm-hmm. like Dorian Gerald. And, you know, the secondary, you know, it's you can't play press if you can't get to the passer, because you can beat press eventually and have guys open, and they'll be big plays. But if you can get to the passer, you don't have to cover long. And that's what John says that's what he says is different, that they should be able to rush the passer a little better, and that's going to help their secondary.
Well, let me ask you about McTelvin again, because he's going to move to the inside. He's been a good player for Arkansas, but he hadn't taken the step to the next level, but become a great player like a Trey Flowers or Dietrich Wise or maybe even Armon Watts last year. He moves to the inside. It's his senior year. Will he be able to make that final jump in this final year to get into that group with those guys I just listed moving to the inside? Or what do you think the season ahead is for a game?
Well, he's always should have been inside, but they didn't have any pass rushers, and they thought, well, we'll move him here, we'll move him there, we'll look for matchups. But that was doing him a disservice. They've left him inside. I talked to two NFL defensive line coaches that I've known forever and ever, and they looked at tape at him, and they were actually looking. Both of them were looking at different times, either Trey Flowers or Dietrich Wise, you know, and trying to assess them. But you know, you look at the guy playing next to him, and it was a game, and they were like, okay, he's not an end. He does not have the quick twitch, but he does have strength and the ability to play with his hands. And that's a defensive tackle. And I think he'll benefit in this scheme with pass rushers that require double team. And if you'll remember when you saw Phylon play off of, say, Flowers, mm-hmm. that was a tough combination to face on that weak side. And I think he's going to have a good year if he stays healthy, and that that he will be drafted. You know, he's probably a fourth round player. But is he is he one of those elite SEC defensive linemen? No, he may not be an all SEC player, but he's good enough for Arkansas to win with if they surround him with other good linemen, and I think that's happening now.
Clay Henry, the publisher of Hogs Illustrated. Really appreciate you hopping on with us, Clay. I know nothing about fishing, so I'll just say go bag a big one or whatever it is the nomenclature is. Hopefully that works.
That doesn't work at all.
It will work. Yeah, okay. It's going to be a good day, and I enjoyed it. I hope we can do it again, guys.
Hey, appreciate it, Clay.
Bag a big one?
Well, what is it?
I think you say that in deer hunting more.
Okay, so what's it in fishing?
Well, land a big one.
Land a big one. Yeah. My bad. I was trying, Tom.
I was trying to be cool
like you, and then it's just never going to be.
Just keep trying.
Yeah, I'm just going to keep trying.
Someday you'll be as cool as me.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.